Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. In today's episode, we're talking about how to focus when you have a lot of ideas. And this is a very honest and refreshing conversation with my guest today. And one of my favorite things that she says is this: when you're choosing between things, pick the pain point that speaks to you the most. Don't lie to yourself. There's only one. Ooh, that might have been hard to hear, or maybe you felt really defensive as soon as you heard it, but I really want to challenge this and to put your guard down and give this a thought, because you might have a million things running through your mind. You have lots of thoughts, but there's generally a central theme to what's happening, and that can give you the answer as to what to focus on next in your business. So maybe you're up thinking about finances. And maybe you're thinking your business is going down in flames because revenue has been lower. We've all been there. We've had those moments and it just feels like nothing is working. Or maybe you're really stressed because you've got an idea for an offering you want to have in your business and you've got all these ideas that you're trying to think through and you can't seem to make decisions based on when to launch that offering, what to include, how to price it, all of those things. But do you see that there's a central theme? You might be thinking about a new offering. You might be worried about finances, but there's something that's going on. You can apply this same thing to all the different ideas that you have. So maybe you have lots of different ideas that you want to tackle in your business, but which one is the one that comes up the most for you? Because that is going to lead you in the right direction. And it's only when we're really honest with ourselves that we'll get that direction and we'll get that answer of what to focus on next. So my guest today is someone who has lots of ideas and lots of passions, but when she and I connected on a connection call, she told me about her three different businesses in a very clear way that I knew. I was like, oh my gosh, I have got to ask her about this. Because most of the time when I talk to someone who has a lot of different ideas and a lot of different passions, it feels a little scattered. And that's okay, because there's a lot of times in our business that things feel scattered before they get clear. So there's nothing wrong with that. But oh my gosh, as soon as she was telling me about all her businesses, even though she doesn't have all the answers for her businesses, there was a clarity and a confidence in all of her words. And that is why I wanted to bring her on the podcast today. So if you're listening and you've got lots of ideas for maybe your business now, or maybe the future businesses that you want, and you're not sure what to do, this is for you, because you don't lack the ideas. You lack progress and focus. And I know that is hard to hear, but you know it deep down. You know that that's what's happening. You don't have a focus, and therefore you're not making progress. And so you're going to really love this episode today, because the guest that I have is really approaching this from a place of having all of those ideas and trying to figure out what in the world to focus on next. And another thing I'd want to remind you of is that you can have it all, but you can't pursue it all at the same time. And that's the underlying theme of this entire conversation. You can have all the ideas. There's nothing wrong with having lots of ideas, lots of passions, lots of different areas of interest in your life. But if you try and pursue it all at the same time, you are going to end up scattered and you're not going to make as much progress. And so I wanted to bring someone else on the podcast to talk about this because I know sometimes it seems a little easier for me because I am a person who can focus on one thing for a while and I don't struggle with that. And so I like to bring guests on that do struggle with it so that we can have both areas covered. There's people listening that are just like me who can focus a lot and there's downfalls to that as well. And I talk about it in this episode. But my guest today is coming at it from a new perspective, and I think you're going to like it. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Brianna Ned is a self-described multidimensional misfit who writes, teaches, and talks about building more equitable, liberated, and sustainable societal systems. She uses her formal training as a lawyer to help everyday people become legalese fluent. She also has two newsletters. Sustainable Cadences is for folks who want practical and actionable tools for creating a slower-paced life, and The Submissive List is for people on self-transformation journeys who want tools and resources for working through and aligning with change. Gosh, I love how she describes this, and again, this is why I wanted her on the podcast. She embraces her multidimensional self, and she's done so in a way that makes it really clear and easy to understand. So you're going to learn a lot and laugh with us as we talk, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Brianna. Brianna, thank you so much for being here today. I am so excited to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I love it. So you and I are going to talk today about all your different focuses in business. And I just love this so much because when you and I connected, you were telling me all about the different facets of your business. And I remember thinking, how in the world do you keep this all straight? It is amazing. And you are so focused and I just really appreciate it. So if you could give us a kind of a 30,000 foot view perspective of what does it look like for you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So first of all, the way I keep it all straight is I'm a Virgo. So let's get that out of the way. But yeah, so from a 30,000 foot view, my business is a bunch of different things. I'm a lawyer by training who fell into the world of corporate well-being, learned a lot about somatic practices and things like that, and found myself deeply ingrained in the well-being industry as a guide and facilitator, doing corporate workshops and working with individuals. And I also am very, very passionate about writing. So I write as well. I do freelance writing and I do writing of my own. So what that looks like from a 30,000 foot view is that I teach legalese to everyday people. That's how I use the law. I help essentially people who work understand what those confusing words in their contracts mean.
Thank you. We all need that.
I essentially like people send me their contracts and I create a legal reference guide for them. It's a very, very simple service, but I found that it's a critical service because it's really hard to understand the law if you don't have like the money or the resources or the time to do it. And so I love creating these reference guides that people can refer back to over and over again. It kind of feels like a great way to pay it forward from having had the privilege of going to law school and all of those things.
That's fantastic. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to tell you how wonderful that is, not only from the service perspective, but from the entrepreneurial side of things. You saw the need, like you're an attorney, you could have easily written contracts for people. I say easily, I assume it's easy for you. You could have written contracts, you could have acted as the attorney for a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, like all these different businesses. But instead you solved the problem of legalese, of understanding the contract. So from the everyday lawyer, it's like someone sends you a contract that's been made by someone else. They send you the contract and you basically interpret it for them.
Yes. Yeah. Or they'll send me like a template contract that they want to use in their business and I interpret it for them. And I tell you, like, here's best practices. Here's how you would negotiate this and that. Here's what you need to like look out for. Because once you see one contract in your business, you've kind of seen them all. Mm. And if you just have a reference guide to go back to, refresh your memory, like, you feel more and more confident. And like so many people who, especially solopreneurs, like you don't need to actually hire a lawyer and pay whatever the fee is. Usually it's hard to get out with under $1,000.
Right.
And like, you don't actually need that. You just need to understand what the language is saying and how to speak it and write it. And so that was really my goal there. And then with my well-being work, I do teach programs from time to time, but that mostly looks like I have a newsletter called The Submissive List, and it's for personal transformation junkies and well-being fanatics. And I send it out at the beginning of each zodiac season. It's completely free. And I share like what I think the guidance is for the zodiac season and how to work with it. And then I provide resources, because the thing that people I notice in like my years of working in the well-being industry, people really value for me is that I can vet things and recommend good resources. So it's like, I know like what kind of therapy you need. I know what kind of product you should use if you're having gut issues. Like, I just spend a lot of time on the internet researching things. And so I tend to be a wealth of information. So I share all of that in that newsletter. Like, I give you guidance for the themes, how to work with them. And then it's full of resources and tools about maybe programs from other practitioners that I trust or products that I have personally used that I really like. And so that's that. And the only kind of service work I do there outside of the newsletter is that people can sign up for, I make, you know, a certain number of spots available per month, depending on how busy I am, for people to sign up for Choose Your Price sessions with me, where we basically do parts work. We figure out like where I help you through meditation and through talking through like what's going on with you, like build a better and more intimate relationship to the different parts of yourself. And that's kind of the only thing that I do in that world anymore. The last thing I do is I help people live slower paced lives. So on my newsletter, Sustainable Cadences, it's really for anyone. It can be for like managers, solopreneurs, like entrepreneurs, whoever is trying to like slow down in life. I think one of the things that I first learned when I got into entrepreneurship is that a lot of people love to say like, slow down, like slow living is the only way to live. And no one tells you how.
Yes.
if you're sensing a theme with me, it's like, I really get bothered when people don't tell you how or empower you with the knowledge. Cause the only way you're going to like be able to do these things for yourself is if someone gives you the knowledge. So all of my work is about giving people the knowledge. And I share my practices. I share how I have built like daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly sustainable cadences and what that actually looks like and how you can build it up over time. So that's kind of how I weave in my life's experiences of being a lawyer, working in well-being, being an entrepreneur now for 5 or so years, and being really passionate about writing. And then the last thing I do, of course, is for my own personal writing. I have writing play dates with other writers. So I have one writing play date every single week. Sometimes I have two. And that's where I make sure I'm being true to and holding myself accountable for, like working on my own like writing projects that I have in the fire. So yeah.
Oh, good. What I mean, I love so much. We're going to dig into it all for sure. But what I really enjoyed is that you, once you were sharing all of this, you do have a common thread and you pulled it out and you said, what really bothers me is when people don't tell you how. So I tell you how, whether it's in the lawyer part, it's like, I tell you how to interpret. This is how you can interpret this contract and then move forward. And with the well-being, it's like, this is how you can take this information and apply it to your own self. You know, and I just love that so very much. And so for anyone listening, because the person listening is like, yes, I am multi-passionate. I have all these different areas of excitement. I love all these different things. I would encourage the person to try and find that common thread. So how did you figure that out?
So the thing that has So I have a few things that I've like believed for a really long time. The first belief I came to, I probably was a teenager or at the beginning part of college, which is that knowledge is power, like full stop, knowledge is power. And I like really started to understand that when you know better, you do better.
Yes.
And so that became really foundational for me. And then the second thing that I started to pick up on and how I sort of ended up noticing, I guess, all of these gaps is that at the end of the day, you are your own best teacher. And so this is really something that stood out to me when I was like fully immersed in the well-being industry, where, you know, I started to really, I don't know if it was who I am or my legal training or a little bit of both, but I started to have a really real ethical issue with the way that people were marketing their services in that industry and making people feel like they wouldn't be able to function without this person's help, particularly after a person maybe goes through some sort of coaching package or whatever, that upsell that's like, you've done this, but guess what? You're still broken and I can help you get unbroken with just this next package and blah, 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 blah. It just did not sit right with me because I was like, ultimately, what we should be teaching people is how to do this for themselves and not creating, ironically, codependent relationships with our clients.
Yes.
So that's where that second piece really came in. So I had the knowledge is power. And then when I was fully immersed in the well-being industry, I was like, we have to teach people to understand that they are their own best teachers and not be in the business of creating codependent relationships with our clients because it's a disservice to them and it's a disservice to us. And so that's how my kind of life philosophy was formed between those two things.
Thank you for all of that. And, you know, I teach on a lot of different things and marketing is one of them. And people come to me all the time thinking marketing is terrible. And it's because of that, right? Mm-hmm. We experience this crappy marketing that is, you're broken unless you help me fix it or unless you allow me to help you fix it. And man, it just pisses me off every time I see it too. Like it just really gets on my nerves. And so when I first started in my business, I had a very similar approach and still do with how you have the everyday lawyer. So on the marketing side is how I started my business. And I said, I will teach you how to market so that you are empowered. And I hope you get to the point where you can outsource all of your marketing one day, but you will be knowledgeable in order to hire the person that would help you the most. And you know exactly what's going on because that way you can't be taken advantage of.
Yes.
And so many people along the way, none of which I worked with on an ongoing basis, but people would say, but Amanda, if you teach them, then they'll go and do it and they won't need you anymore. And I'm like, that's the point.
That is 100% the point. You're not their guru. You can't just, like we really hit this phase where people, I mean, the internet is wonderful for being able to make a living, but we really hit this phase where like every other person woke up and was like, I'm just going to guru-tize myself and tell people that they can't live without me.
Right.
And that's how I'm going to make $1 million. And it just, I just remember like looking and I was like, is no one else seeing this? I had a business partner at the time who didn't seem to have a problem with it, which is why I left that business. But I was like, what is really going on out here?
This is not okay. It's like the wild, wild west.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, so good. So for the person listening, I would suggest, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. So I have asked people that I have been working with, like a coaching relationship where I'm working with them more one-on-one. And I would encourage the person listening to answer the question, what pisses you off?
Yes.
Because I'm seeing it in both of us. Like, it's like, what really gets under your skin? What is the thing that you're like, dang it, if they just knew whatever, that's probably the underlying or overall 30,000 foot view, the thread, no matter what your passions are. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's totally right. Like the everyday lawyer is like, you know, the newest part of my umbrella. And it happened because for, I don't know, like the 100th time, I got a voice note from a friend. Only this time she was crying. She was crying and really worried she was going to get sued and like all of these things about this contract she had for this project she was doing that was like really overwhelming her. And she was worrying about finishing it on the deadline. And I was like, this is crazy that it's 2023 and people can still be here and feel like this about a contract. Like, this has got to be solved. I'm aware that I'm one person and it may be an imperfect solution, but it's something moving us in the right direction. And so I'm doing the something.
I love it. And I'm glad you're doing the something. And it's so cool because it's different, but it's solving a very clear problem and it's helping you fulfill your passion of telling people how you can do this so that you're empowered and moving forward. So shifting a little bit, so you've identified these avenues of your business, and thank you for mapping them out. How did you figure out how to separate them all? Because that's where I feel like a lot of people that have multi-passionate mindsets of, I want to do this, this, and this, it's really overwhelming, even though it's exciting for that person. So how did you walk through figuring out the lanes for each of those things?
Yeah. So you have to do one thing at a time.
Yes.
I have this running list of all these things I want to do in my life, but I don't try to do them all at once. You know, like the submissive list is a narrowed down pivot from my well-being practice that was under like a death dominatrix brand. I have since decided to retire the Death Dominatrix brand for now and just lead with the submissive list as the email newsletter. But I spent 2 years out in the world as a Death Dominatrix, teaching people about death cycles and what that means in terms of how we move through change, creating group programs, all of these things. And all that happened was at the end of last year, after 2 years of doing that and running two different types of group programs successfully, was I was like, you know, the group programs don't feel in alignment with a Death Dominatrix brand. I think they might be something different. And so I just paused. I was like, let me just take some time out to feel that out because they don't feel aligned with each other. Like, yes, they overlap, but like, I don't think that stuff is in the right brand. These group programs are not in the right brand, and they weren't. And so I was like, okay, what does that mean for Death Dominatrix work? If the vast majority of the things I've created under this brand, I'm having an epiphany, don't really go under this brand. It means the brand gets to go away or hibernate at the very least until maybe I'm clearer about what it's trying to be. And so those programs moved under sustainable cadences because I was like, that's what I'm really teaching. I'm teaching people how to go slower. And so that's all about sustainable cadences. That's not necessarily about change and moving through death cycles in your life. And so I gotta clean that up. But it did require me to do one thing at a time.
Goodness, there's so much in that. You know, the one thing at a time is key, in my opinion. And I am a really structured person who appreciates doing one thing at a time. So I don't always fit the bill of someone who has a million ideas, even though I kind of do have a lot of ideas. They usually are very controlled under an umbrella. But focusing on one thing at a time, you can make more progress. And to your point, you can make more progress and figure out, am I doing this the way that feels best for me? Is this the sustainable path I can be on? Is it misaligned? And so what I heard in that was you focused on one thing and then and ran several successful programs, which is awesome. But just because something is successful in numbers, successful on paper, doesn't necessarily mean it's what you want in business. And so you took a pause and were like, and I love how you said hibernate, or like at the very least, like it either goes away or it hibernates for a little bit and that's okay. And I think the person listening probably really enjoyed that of like, oh, I can just put it on the shelf for a little bit and pick up this other thing Because I think, and I'm probably speaking out of turn, because again, I am someone who's super focused and can focus on one thing for a really long time. But for most people that I work with who aren't as super focused as I am, they're like, I don't know which one to pick and how long to hold on to that thing. Or like, it almost feels like there's always a change happening. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance the, I'm going to try this for a little bit and see if it's working? And like, how do you not switch too often? I don't even know if that's the right way to ask that question.
No, I hear what you're saying. Listen, I think that when you're, as someone who has a lot of different things that they want to accomplish, like I am not misfocused. I'm like, listen, the world's falling apart and I've been seeing these cracks for a long time. And I am really excited about trying to fill all of them at the same time. And I know that if I try to do that, I'm going to die truly from burnout. So I need to like figure out where I can make the most impact. And so when you're choosing between things, I think you have to pick the pain point that speaks to you the most. Mm. Like, right? Like there's always two things. And I've even had clients be like, oh, I'm so torn, like this business or this business. And a lot of my clients are not just entrepreneurs, but they're founders of startups. So they need to do fundraising, all this stuff. It's a lot of work. You can't do that with two businesses. And I'm like, which pain point is speaking to you? Like, don't lie to yourself. What's the one that you're like up thinking about at night? I was like, because there's only one.
Okay. Ooh, that's so good, because I like that you're like, don't lie to yourself, because that's the reality is probably so much of like, they're going to tell all of the potential investors, they're going to tell all of the employees, all of the people on the board or whatever. And for us that don't have that type of thing in our business, it's like, we're going to tell our partners and friends and whatever, this, all of these things, but we really have to be truthful to ourselves and say, what's the one? Because there is one. Mm-hmm. We just can't lie to ourselves and say it's all of them.
Yeah.
Hey there. I promise to get you back to the great episode you're listening to really soon. But first, I've got a question for you. How does success feel to you? This is a question that I didn't answer for many years in my business, but once I did, it changed everything. And I want the same for you. So I've created a free guide that will help you define success on your own terms in just 20 minutes. Go to amandamckinney.com/success to download the free guide so you can define success on your own terms and then unapologetically pursue that definition. Okay, let's jump back into the episode.
Going back to that hibernation concept, like I hibernated my legal practice for 2 years. I said, I'm going to figure out this death dominatrix thing. It's calling me. So I'm going to answer the call, and I'm going to answer it faithfully, which to me means I'm going to, like, you know, it's like a monogamous relationship. It's like, I'm going to forego like all other partners.
I'm
just going to do this death dominatrix thing. So I emailed my clients. I said, listen, my legal practice is closing as of next month. Like, let me know if you need recs for different lawyers, but like, I'm putting my attention here. And I put it on the shelf. I was like, I don't know if I'll ever be a lawyer again, but I know right now I feel very done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's important to do that and to focus on one thing is that you need the space to process. Like, no one ever talks about it, but we all know entrepreneurship is not pretty. It's like, it's an emotional roller coaster, and that's a nice way of putting it. But we've all been in the corner or in the shower or, you know, if you've got kids like hiding in the closet, like crying.
Yes. I've literally recorded a podcast in the closet crying because of a meltdown.
Yeah. Like the meltdowns come and they go. And, you know, I think that entrepreneurship is a very intense form of leadership. I say you can only take people as far as you've gone. And in entrepreneurship, you got to go far, right? And so you're going to have a lot of meltdowns. And if you're trying to do too many things, you're not going to have space for the meltdowns, right? Again, sustainable cadences. You have to have space for the meltdowns if you're a leader or an entrepreneur. And so doing one thing at a time helps you process and integrate stuff from the past, because then, you know, when it's ready to come off the shelf and come back around, then you can actually like engage with it instead of it having it like really trip you up. Like, it was very shocking to me to like have this everyday lawyer idea come to me, but I was like, you know, I've taken a break from it and I have the space. Let me think about like, what do I need to do like emotionally for myself to actually be able to pursue this idea the way that I want to? And so it's more than just doing and creating a business. There's, I call it your physicality, you know, there's a mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspects to this stuff. And there's got to be space for all of it. And if you're trying to do too many things at the same time, there's not enough space for your physicality, which means you're not going to be able to do any of the things well. And you're certainly not going to be able to pick up on the cues from your market, the universe, whatever you want to call it, that's telling you like, oh, it's this direction, go down this path or let this thing go so you can like pursue this thing. You never know where the money channels are or where the money is trying to come into. And you have to have the space, time, and energy to be attuned to that and pay attention. If you are like me and you like to do a bunch of different things, like the money channel is going to be switching up on you and you've got to pay attention.
Oh gosh, you are just speaking so many truths right now. That is like, and it's really interesting because like I'm imagining everyone on their walks, doing the dishes, driving their car, like wherever they are listening to this. And they're the ones with tons of ideas. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is really resonating with me. And at the same time, you're speaking to me, who is someone who is very, very focused on something. And I'm going to give kind of the other side of this, that you're really like breathing life into me at this very moment, of the person who's extremely focused and extremely driven pushes through and continues to do the thing even when it doesn't feel aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Which is then you have to think, because the person like myself is like, I'm going to keep doing this thing because I said I was going to do it, right? And I'm going to keep going because it is successful. I'm going to keep going, but I'm going to pick up on this other thing too. Like I, all of a sudden I think I can like do two things at one time. Like, I'm not really sure where we get this idea, but it's like, I can do both things at one time. And it's not possible to do that when you don't have extra support in your business. Like, it's just not feasible. And so to think about the way you phrased it of you have to really fully pay attention so that you know where the money energy is coming in and where that channel is coming, and really understanding, like, because you can definitely do multiple things, like you've said, but you have to focus on one thing at a time, really get that built up, and then maybe put something else on your plate. So, gosh, thank you for breaking it down like that, because it really is, it's almost like hard to admit that you can't do it all at one time. That sounds really ridiculous when I say it like that, because it seems so, like a duh moment, like, duh, we can't do it all ourselves. Like, it seems so obvious, but it's like in when you're in the day to day, whether you have a lot of ideas or whether you just have a few, but you're just trying to go all in on all of them, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yes, it's a total recipe for disaster. You know, we have all the capitalism thinking to thank for that, right? Like, and we have all the books, like, I remember the generational divide when Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In book came out, and like me and all my friends who are millennials were like, this book is terrible. But all of our mentors were like, you thought it was terrible? You should read it again. I just thought it was so profound. And I was like, but I, like, having it all isn't a thing. It's not a thing. We love to tell this story that like, yeah, the story at the time, and sometimes is still at the time, it's like, men have it all. They're like, have these big, powerful careers and these families. And I'm like, okay, but they're working all the time and they're missing like their families growing up, or something's not right with their family, so they stay at work on purpose. I'm like, that,
right?
Like, what you're seeing isn't the full story, right? And so one of the things that we have to learn is we have to appreciate like the space that slowness affords us, because it gives you some time to look around and investigate, not just for yourself, but to like see other people. And you start to see through like what people are showing you, right? Because no one wants to be out here being like, my life's a mess. I mean, I do that, but like, right. I don't think that's a normal thing to do. To like openly just be like, it's kind of a shit show, y'all. Like, sorry.
Right. I think like we're getting a little braver for those of us who are like, yes, like people tell me all the time, like, Amanda, it's so nice that you'll just say like, whoop, I messed up. Like that didn't work out the way I thought it was going to. But it's not like I came out the gate of entrepreneurship feeling that way. It's not like in 2017, the 2017 version of Amanda, the entrepreneur that just started, was like, I failed. You know, I didn't do that. I just realized I am failing at some of these things, which then become lessons. So it doesn't really, it ends up being a blessing, right? Because you learn through all of these. But I notice like not that many people will share about it. And I think the more of us, specifically entrepreneurs who are like really willing to share, that's how we can help other people, to your point of knowing how to navigate something. Because if we don't share that, it's like people think we have it all together.
Yeah.
Which is not the case.
Yeah. I mean, I literally have a newsletter of people who I send an email to, I don't know, in the fall, that said, this whole business is changing. I don't know what it's changing into, but the what you're going to get from me consistently is an email once a month.
Yeah. And like, it might be about something different.
TBD.
And that, and you know,
I've done this to this group of people at this point a couple times, and they're still rocking with me, right?
That's like, so great.
They're not going anywhere. But, and I think partly because they value the transparency. The transparency makes you human. Yep. And so I think like taking that time to be transparent, getting back to what we were saying, like, I think waiting for the green light is a big deal. Like, I think it can be really scary to have the realization that like, oh, I'm maybe not aligned with this, or, oh, like this business isn't making the money that I need, which is a very real and legitimate thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very scary to have that realization and not know what to do next. You have to give that realization some breathing room, right? Mm-hmm. You can't like try to smother it. It's a very natural instinct to be like, if I smother it and cover it up, it'll go away. It doesn't go away. I think you just talked about this in an episode about how to not burn out.
Oh, yes.
That I listened to. Yes. But like, it doesn't go away. You know, if you do your 90-day check-in, it's there. You do it again 90 days later, it's there and maybe more intense. And it just only intensifies. And so you've got to learn how to give those moments of realization and uncertainty about what to do next some breathing room. Until you get the green light about the next right action. That's all you're looking for, is the next right action. But like, you got to give it breathing room. Things don't happen overnight. Like, you know, they love to tell us this lie that's like, you can be an overnight success, and it's just not true. Like, things don't happen overnight. So like, if you don't know on a Tuesday, you may not wake up on that Wednesday knowing. You may not know for like 12 Wednesdays or 16 or like 30.
Right.
And you've got to be able to give that some breathing room.
Oh, I love that visual of waiting for the green light. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm on my way somewhere and I get stopped at every single traffic light on the way, because for some reason it just happens, and it's infuriating. and you're like waiting for the green light. And I'm thinking there's other times when it's like a leisurely Sunday stroll and it's like, I could hit them all. It's fine. And how different those perspectives are at the exact same situation. And how we have to lean in, coming back to that book title, we have to lean in to the idea of knowing, like being more on the Sunday drive, which is very difficult when we're on our way somewhere. And we're as a very driven entrepreneur who's listening to this podcast is like, I'm ready to be at my friend's house because I told her I was going to be there at this time. And I hit every red light. It's very infuriating when that happens. But me being mad at the light doesn't change that light's timing at all. And as you're bringing this up and thinking like, we have to give it time, you know, there was something that I thought about for an entire year before making a change. And that my business friends, who I was referencing in that podcast episode of like, they told me every time we had a check-in, Amanda, you said this last time. And finally I was like, well, okay. I've tried these different things. This isn't working. You know, X, Y, Z, just kind of workshopped it. But then there was a moment when it was very clear. This is what I need to do. And then it was like, okay, I'm going to move forward. I knew the next step. Whereas for the year before, I didn't know. I didn't know the next step. I was just sitting. I was sitting at that light. I'm sure you've dealt with it many times.
Yes. So that's why I kept parts work sessions from my Death Dominatrix brand. And I do them as choose your price because of exactly what you just said. Because what I heard and the language I use for it is like, you can't go until your slowest part is ready. And like your slowest part is like the one that's like the most attuned to your nervous system, the most attuned to your needs. And like the green light usually comes when your slowest part is like, okay, I can do it. And sometimes your slowest part is like super on board. But a lot of the time, there's like these other parts of you that are like, we gotta go. And your slowest part is like, hold up. Like, we are not going anywhere. And so I think that that's what happens for a lot of people, though. And they ignore their slowest part and they try to go and they don't know why they're going or where they're going. I want to bring it full circle because like, I remember when we first talked, one of the things you were excited about was that I had very clear goals for these different things that I do, right?
Yes.
And so one of my dreams and why I have these newsletters is like, I want to be like a known public speaker. And I want to be doing more corporate workshops. I used to do a lot. I took some space away from that and I want to get back into it. And I was like, okay, yeah, let me like go do this thing. And I'm looking and I'm like, I'm going to have conversations, reach back out to these old contacts. And I was like, dang, but if I really want to do this, like the proper way to do this is to build an audience. And I don't really have an audience because it's totally fine. But I took a step away from this and I left the business that I had where that audience existed. So I sort of have to build one up anew. And so I have the Sustainable Cadences newsletter because I'm realizing I'm really in the audience building phase. I'm not going out there. I know people say like, oh, just pitch. I don't have the energy for that. I'm trying to give all my energy to Everyday Lawyer right now. That's where I'm monetizing. That's where I'm making money. I know that there's a need. I told 5 people about it and they said, yes, I posted about it on LinkedIn. It got over 2,000 impressions and like 30 comments from people being like, oh my God, this is a huge need. And so I'm like, I know with certainty that that market is there. And so this is a thing I can monetize right now. I know how to monetize it and it's very simple. I just have to be consistent, right? Monetization, once you know that you found your market, is all about consistency. But this other thing that's like kind of a pipe dream What I'm not going to do is not have a website that talks about public speaking, not have like a public speaking reel, and just pop into people's inboxes talking about, I can speak here, I can speak there, I can do a workshop here, I can do a workshop there, because I have so much work to do to be in a place where that kind of effort even makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, then what do I need to do? Audience building at its simplest, I could build a newsletter where I offer this very valuable information to people on how to build sustainable cadences in their lives. That's it. That's all I'm doing for now until, you know, I get the next green light that like this audience is ready and hungry for something more from me. And like just trusting that I'll know. But you have to be really clear about what each thing is for. Just like the submissive list, like I love to share wellness resources. I'm not sure there's ever going to be a time in my life where I'm not excited about people being on a personal transformation journey. So I'm going to share that stuff regardless of whether I'm making money from it. I'm going to be doing parts sessions regardless of whether people can pay me a lot of money for it, because I just enjoy it so much. And I think I know I can always make a big difference in someone's life doing that. And so it has never been about the money. And the whole problem and why it was out of alignment when I was trying to make it the thing I was doing is because it became all about the money, because I wanted that work to sustain me. And the issue I was having was that I was like, it doesn't feel right to me, like from a moral standpoint, to be trying to make this work that feels so important and sacred and ritualized to me to be like a moneymaker. It feels like a service. It feels more like a pay it forward service.
So many nuggets of wisdom. And that, like, that was the mic drop moment, I feel like, because goals are important. But what I was really picking up with what you were saying is you understood what you really want in the long run, and you are willing to put in the time, energy, effort, finances, et cetera, all of your resources in order to look ahead and work towards that dream. You know what the long-term dream is. You also realize I have to make money, or I don't have a money tree in the backyard. So if you do, please invite me over. But yeah, you have to make money.
I'll be there real quick.
Right. And so you were like, how can I make money doing something that I love as well? And what can I do easily? So you're like, I have this skill. I have this. This is a solving a problem. I tested it. You asked people about it, like all these things. Yes. Moving forward with that, that allows you the financial freedom. It allows you the ability to be consistent in your audience building for your long-term dream. This is what I hope everyone hears so much, is like, you can have multiple passions, but sit down and ask yourself, which one is the low-hanging fruit for money right now? So that you can make money and then realize, okay, what is what I really want to do? What is the thing that's really just my passion project? Which, by the way, any of these could make you a millionaire one day if that's what you really wanted to do. But you really want to get clear on what you want, what's in alignment for you, and following that. So, gosh, this was so good to break all of those down into like what bucket it fills.
Yeah, because I think, right, like, once you get very real about it, you know, entrepreneurship can get real up in the clouds very quickly. There's
people
just manifest your dream business and blah, 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 blah. And like, okay, but what are you doing with your feet? Like, what's the boots on the ground look like?
What steps are you taking?
And I think, you know, in one of my programs that I teach called Rebirth Your Business, like I call it memorializing your know-how, right? Like you've got a whole career that happened, or you got a whole skill set or something that you're really knowledgeable about. What does it look like to turn that into something like simple and enjoyable that makes money for you? That's like your low-hanging fruit, right? And this other stuff, it's so great. It's so great to dream, but dreams don't come true overnight. You got to pace them. And so for me right now, I'm like, what the space I have for my dreams and what I'm building is like a monthly newsletter that I can, and like none of these scheduled media posts about monthly newsletters, right? Yes, scheduled media post about everyday lawyer every week, consistency. But like on the other stuff, it's when I feel moved and I share something and then I link to my newsletter and that's it. It's small. It doesn't take a lot of energy. It's really when I'm inspired. And so the only time commitment I have is to put these monthly newsletters together and that I set it and forget it, right? But that's maybe an hour, max two a month.
Right.
That's not the same thing as like it taking up all my time week after week after week. And so you do just have to understand that, you know, in a lot of ways, time is a finite resource and you've got to be more realistic about what's possible.
Mm-hmm. That's so important to be realistic with what's possible. And it's difficult to do because like we've been talking about, it's easy to think I can do it all.
Yeah.
I can do it all, but we cannot. We have other things that we need and want to do in our life. Our business yeah. isn't everything. That's the reason we wanted to be an entrepreneur. If we're all being honest about it, we wanted to have some control of our schedule at some point. And we were like, I want to be able to take off in the middle of the day when I feel like it. Well, dear entrepreneur, how many days are you taking off in the middle of the afternoon right now?
Yeah.
Probably not many.
Exactly. Whereas tomorrow, I'm taking the whole day off. My nephew's here. We're going to DC. He's obsessed with rocket ships and we're going to the Space Museum.
Oh, I love
and
it.
We're going to have the best time ever. But, you know, I always want to remind people that baby steps are still steps and mm-hmm. they're important.
Yes. So good. Oh my gosh. This was such a great conversation. I feel like we could talk all day about all of this. This is fantastic. But as my last question to you, and it's okay if you don't have the answer or the words in this moment, because I know I'll hear from you in like 2 months and you'll be like, I've got it, Amanda. But I would love to hear what success feels like to you.
You know, right now, success feels like the life that I'm living.
Oh,
and I'll be
so good.
I'll be so very transparent. I'm not making the money I need. Not even close. But what I am doing right now is I'm creating a foundation to do that. And I'm doing things that I really enjoy and I really believe in. Like, I know I can make a difference doing these things. I'm excited to make a difference. And if I'm up at night having trouble sleeping, it's not because I'm worried. It's because I'm excited about tomorrow. And so right now, like, I feel like a success. Like, I am a success. Everybody's it. And I can tell the difference. My whole family's excited for me, where before they were like real nervous. You know, like leaving a cushy lawyer job. Like, my parents are like, what are you doing? But
right.
like right now, my whole family is so excited for me. They're all gone out of the house today because they know I have a writing deadline for this dream fellowship I'm applying mm-hmm. to. And they wanted me to have some peace and quiet to like tie up the loose ends. That's exciting to me that like my excitement is so contagious that my family is like in on it. So right now, success feels like what I'm doing.
I love that. And, you know, I wrote this entire book and I've been on this journey of the topic of success for over a year at this point. And one thing that I have been very clear on and interviewing others, defining it for myself, is that our definition of success will change over time.
Exactly.
It's going to evolve. And so I love that you even said, right now, success is, right? And so... Mm-hmm. I just love that you framed it as today. And I really appreciate the vulnerability of saying like, I'm not making the money that I necessarily want / need to be making, but I'm still feeling successful. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that that just touched a lot of hearts of people mm-hmm. listening. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being open about it. And oh my gosh, I know everyone's going to want to know more about you and where they can find you online. So tell us all about it.
Yes. So you can find me. I'm on the Twitter streets at Brianna Ned. You can find me there talking about God knows what. And then on Instagram, I'm at the_everyday_lawyer. And then my website is theeverydaylawyer.co. I'm also at Instagram if you want to be up on any of these newsletters. I'm on, it's the Submissive List, and you can find all my stuff there. And then I have my own, my name brand website, briannaned.com, where you can also find every newsletter that I do if you want to subscribe to any of them or what have you.
Thank you so much. And I'll make sure to have all of the links in the show notes for everyone for sure. Thank you so much, Brianna, for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It was so, so great to be here.
So inspiring, right? I just loved how Brianna talks so openly about how she approaches entrepreneurship when she has so many different passions, as well as she talked about how she separated what can make her money now versus what she wants to build in the future. And that is the thing that I really hope you take away from this conversation. Sometimes, my dear friend, we have to go for the low-hanging fruit when it comes to making money in our business, when you plan for the future of what you hope to do later. By getting your financial needs met now, you can have that sense of peace and security so that you can plan on doing the things you want to do in the future. But if you don't approach it this way, chances are you won't get to that final place that you're hoping to get to. So today, after listening to this episode, I want you to do two things. First, I want you to think about what pain point you want to focus on. And remember, don't lie to yourself with this, because there's just one that's bubbling up to the top. And number two, I want you to identify that low-hanging fruit, because if you can get your financial needs met, chances are you're going to give yourself the space to plan for the future and to do the things you really want to do in your business. So please do those two things today. And remember that things always evolve in our business. So what you decide today doesn't mean it's in stone forever for your business. I want you to embrace that change as it happens in your business. And until next time, give yourself permission to know what you want to pursue and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.